You think it's hot down there, heat rises. It's hotter up here than it is down there where you are. You don't believe me? Come up here and take my place. So there you go. Anyway, thank you, Andrew. That's well directed. If I knew I wouldn't be fighting papers going everywhere, we would go from low to medium. But we better not try that. I've tried that a few times, and it's been disastrous, chasing the papers everywhere. Well, let's once again turn to the Lord's Word, what He has for us. If you were here last Sunday, we started this message, and we're just going to have this part two, Andrew. And the message is, we're here, but are we prepared? That's the message title. Yeah, I know we're here, but have we prepared ourselves to be here as far as our hearts are before the Lord? Let's look to Him in prayer once again. Thank you, Father. We're thankful that we can turn to your word. We thank you for what you have for us. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, that I would follow your leading, saying what ought to be said, and keeping quiet and not saying what ought not to be said. We want to glorify you, Lord, our hearts. Perhaps there is nothing more important in our consideration than the condition of our hearts in your eyes. We say that because man looks on the outward appearance, but you look on our hearts. And so I pray that you would be glorified in all that's said and done, the remaining portion of our service here this evening. In your name we pray. Amen. We talked about last Sunday, if you were here, a prepared heart, and we saw there were some positive examples of it in Scripture. By that I mean there were Scripture portions which were that we looked at, such as 1 Samuel 7:3, when the words were, if you return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Here we see the instruction is lending itself to, even with this first positive example that we see, it sounds like there is some responsibility attached to a person preparing their heart unto the Lord. We looked at other references, and I'm not going to go back and redo all of those. Check your notes from last week, or buy the CD from last week, and you can pick it up off of the recording. But not every usage of the word prepared heart is in the good sense. We saw in contrast in 2 Chronicles 12:14 concerning Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son. Remember, it was under Rehoboam's reign that the United Kingdom of Israel separated. And under Saul, David, and Solomon, they had only had one king. It was one nation. But then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, took over. And it was during his reign that the kingdom was split. 10 tribes went to the north. Under Jeroboam's leadership, they became known as Israel. 2 tribes were to the south, Judah and Benjamin. they went by the name of Judah. So from that point on in the Old Testament, sometimes you're going to read Israel, sometimes you're going to read Judah. And perhaps you wonder, well, it's just, you know, the author's choice of words. No, the usage is it's designating, are we talking about the northern or the southern group of God's people? Well, what about, you say there was a negative example concerning Rehoboam. It says in 2 Chronicles 12:14, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. In a contrast to what we saw in 1 Samuel 7, Rehoboam, he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And we ran out of time at about that after we had looked at the good examples, the bad examples. And what I want us to do is pick up without going over all the territory, but I want us to see that this word prepared heart. If you look in the Old Testament and you turn to the scriptures, and I am thankful for tools. I'm thankful for study tools. You know, if you're going to work on a car, you need mechanics tools. If you're going to work on God's word, you need study tools, and you need accurate ones. You need those that you can trust. We have things like lexicons. We have things like concordances. We have things like study guides and study books. And in looking at this, in working toward this for tonight's presentation, many times, if you haven't figured it out, if you look at a word, for instance, if you would take this word in 1 Samuel 7:3, when it says, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, you go to a concordance, it's going to give you a number in the Hebrew. And you go into, for instance, Strong's Concordance in the back, and you're going to see this is number, I think it's 3559. And you go and you turn and you look at what that word is in the concordance, and you're going to discover that in other places, this word is translated differently. Same word, but the translators, when they were translating the scriptures, not every time this word came up in the manuscripts did the translators translate it prepare. Same word. You say, well, what other ways do we see this same word used? And you might wonder, well, why? That's kind of confusing. Why don't they use the same word all the time? With my little pea brain, I have a feeble suggestion to offer to you. My suggestion is, I think it's a blessing that these words are translated differently many times, because I have a hard time understanding things. I hear one thing, and I think, boy, I don't really understand that. And you might be in a conversation with somebody, and they might use a different word, and all of a sudden, it's just like, now I understand it. Now I know what it is. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes my wife says what I'm saying is clear as mud. You understand what I'm suggesting to you, that oftentimes we see these same words, but one time it's translated this way and this way and this way and this way. Maybe we didn't understand the thought, but boy, when we got down here, now I know what that means. And this is a word which, and I just picked I went through and I thought some of the other usages of the same word that we started out, we're here, but are we prepared? Okay, Pastor, what are some of those words? Here's one of them. In Psalm 112, if you would take your Bibles and look at verses 7 and 8. Here it says, this is concerning, we see in verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. And you get down to verse 7, this man shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon the enemies. In those two verses, that same word is used but translated differently one time. Can you guess what word we're talking about that it means the same thing as established? Huh? Fixed. Fixed, that's the same word. His heart is fixed or steadfast. He has someone to sustain him in his troubles. Turn to Psalm 119, just about seven psalms later. And in verse 5, it tells us this: oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Can you guess what word in verse 5 is the same as established? Pardon? Directed. So we're talking about a heart that is prepared unto the Lord, fixed on the Lord, directed to the Lord. It's adding some different shades of meaning, isn't it? We go on. In Joshua chapter 8, verse 4, we read this. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go you not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. That word's in there. The same one that's translated established or prepared and fixed and directed. What word is it? Ready. Ready. Be ready. Their heart was ready for the Lord. When we talk about our initial thought, our hearts, we're here, but is our heart ready for what God might have for us tonight? Have we readied our hearts? There's more. In that same word of the use of ready, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 2, the Lord said unto Moses, verse 1, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, And I will write upon these tables, excuse me, which were in the first tables which you broke, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present to me, present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. It's that same word. Prepare the tables and be ready in the morning and come up to me. You think Moses slept in that morning? When God said, you be ready in the morning and you come up here. I think Moses had a hard time sleeping that night. That's what I think. He had already been in the presence of the Lord, hadn't he? He had spent already 40 days up there. And the people turned to idolatry and had Aaron make that golden calf. And Moses broke the original tablets of stone, went down. God was going to wipe out the nation. And Moses intervened and said, God, you don't want to do that. Your reputation, your name is at stake. And the Lord was receptive to Moses' request, and God was giving the nation of Israel another chance, and he said, okay, you carve out two other stones just like, and you be ready in the morning and you come on up. This is the thoughts that we are trying to shed light on. What does it mean that he had not prepared his heart? Fixed, directed, readied. Here's one, Psalm 78. There's still more usages of that same word. Psalm 78. We begin at verse 5. He's established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. In verse 8 is our word once again, and it's the word set. He said, oh, that we might not be like that stubborn generation, a generation who set not their heart aright. Once again, some words that I mentioned at the opening of our time this evening. This thought, this word prepare, is our hearts prepared for what God has for us? It sounds like it takes some effort on our part to set our hearts aright, doesn't it? We just don't walk in the door and, oh, praise the Lord, my heart's set tonight. Praise the Lord, my heart's prepared tonight. No, it's something we have done to bring us up to this moment. We're here, but are we prepared? Have we prepared our hearts? In Psalm 78, look, let's go down to verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in their covenant. That's an easy one, isn't it, in verse 37. Is your heart prepared? Boy, I don't know. Is your heart right with God? I can understand that. That's what I mean when we look at these words, that it's the same word, but the translators used that same word and gave it a shed a different light on it. You say, well, I can understand that. Why didn't they just say that their hearts weren't right with the Lord? Well, that's the beauty of Scripture, isn't it? You search, you discover, you look. We're not done yet, but here's another one in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. Jeremiah 10, verse 12. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. That same word translated prepared is in that 12th verse. You know what it is? Established. He hath established the world by his wisdom. You can see it in Jeremiah 51:15. You don't need to turn to the note writers, note takers. Just jot it down. Jeremiah 51:15. It says, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Same thought, same word. And one last example of some of the different ways in which this word is used would be Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. And here it tells us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Can you guess the word? Ordered. Ordered. Just like in Psalm 119, verse 133, when the psalmist said, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Boy, all the shades of meaning. I thought of something simple, just we're here, but are we prepared? All of these thoughts go into it, and I don't see it as to confuse us. I see it as to help us grasp the understanding of all that's involved in a simple thought, in a simple word. Prepare. Well, that's our goal. To prepare our hearts before or unto God. Now, how do we attain that? How's that come about? I'd like to suggest, A, it requires a decision or a desire. By that, it requires a want to on the part of the individual. I cannot prepare your heart unto the Lord any more than you can prepare mine. So who does it? that falls on our shoulders. If our heart has been prepared for the things that God has for us, praise the Lord. But if our heart hasn't been, guess what? Shame on me. Shame on you. I couldn't prepare your, you couldn't prepare my heart. It requires a want to. And here's something we have to ask ourselves. When service time rolls around, we have Sunday school, we have morning worship, we have Sunday evening, we have Wednesday evening. Okay, I think I'll go to church for this service. Do you prepare your heart for it? Do you set your heart on what the Lord might have for you? Is your heart right to listen to what God might be saying to you as you come? Is your heart ready, as we've seen that word, to, oh Lord, thank you for revealing that to me? All of these things, these thoughts that we've looked at, it has to be a desire within. You say, Pastor, where do I get that desire? Can you go to the dollar store and buy it? Is it something that you eat? You drink? Where does that desire come from? It has to come from within. You say, I hear you, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have that desire. I come, but you know, I'm not really interested in hearing what God has for me. I'm not really ready for Him to point out things in my life that might not be right and need some fine tuning. I wonder if sometimes that's how some of us come. When we come, have we come with a prepared heart? Here am I, Lord Jesus, what do you have for me? Or are we here to be seen? Or are we here so the pastor won't bug you because you haven't been here for a week or two and you get that phone call, we've been missing you? What brings us to a service? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why do you come to church? Is it because you have such a desire for what the Lord might have for you tonight, in the morning, whatever the service, and you don't want to miss it? That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Is it because you want to worship the Lord and you are so in love with Him and you want to take another opportunity to worship Him and fellowship with His people? Those are good and godly reasons. Or do we come just to be seen? Just because it's the thing to do. That's not a prepared heart. So, how do we attain it? It requires the want to. It requires a decision and a desire on our part. I thought of some examples of that. For instance, do you remember in Ezra chapter 7. This was a good example we gave you last week. I'll just read it again. In Ezra 17, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He did something about it. Nobody else could prepare his heart to seek the Lord. I can't prepare yours. You can't prepare mine. That's something we need to be doing. We often talk about, you know, you don't even hear anybody anymore talk about go to their closets, their secret closet in prayer. Maybe that's part of our problem in this day and age. How many of us have a secret place with the Lord, a quiet time with the Lord, where we get alone with Him, where we pour out our hearts and we say, oh God, I see in your word this is what you have for me, but that's not me. I want it to be me by the power of your Spirit within me. That's the kind of thing that it takes for us to begin to see our hearts having a desire to be prepared and set and ready for what He wants for us. Let me just give a couple of other quick examples of this thing about it takes the desire, the inclination on the heart of the individual. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46, let me give you one other reference here. Deuteronomy 32, 46, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law. It's not a vain thing for you, because it's your life. And through this thing, if you do what I'm telling you, Moses said, you will prolong your days in the land, whether you go over the Jordan. You see, it's for our good and our benefit that we set our hearts, prepare our hearts unto the Lord and what He has for us. Negatively, I give you another example. It doesn't use the same word, but we certainly see the thought in Isaiah 29:13, when it says this. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They're here. They're warming a pew, he said. They're even saying, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, we love his word. Yeah. But he said, their heart, what about it? Their heart has been far removed from me. Their heart isn't prepared unto me, Isaiah said. Well, okay, what's it take to attain? It takes a decision, a desire. How do we develop that desire, Pastor? How do we develop it? You say, Pastor, I'll be honest. I don't have that desire. I don't. Take the time to prepare. You know, there are so many things in Scripture that the solution is the same. By that I mean, you know where a person is going to develop the desire to get their hearts right with the Lord? Here we go again. How many times is this the answer? We need to be reading God's Word. Why? Because The psalmist says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is going to show me the way. Teach me your word, O Lord. It's when I begin to spend time in his word and I have been in prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things in your word. Open my eyes. Do you ever pray that when you're going to sit down and read? Lord, open my eyes. I'm blinded. I could use a fresh look, a fresh. I love what the psalmist has said here. And I could not tell you how many hundreds and thousands of times I have prayed this in my own behalf. And you know what I pray? Lord, the psalmist said, you restore my soul. Lord, would you restore my soul? I sense there are things not right in my heart. Would you restore my soul? You know what I need. You know what is between. You know what's not right. Lord, restore my soul. I want my heart to be prepared the way it ought to be. Read, pray, study God's word, memorize God's word, respond to God's word. What do you mean by that? Well, if it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, does that suggest to you that there's something I ought to be responding to? Lord, you're not the first thing that I seek, and that's not right. Help me to learn to seek you first. Your ways, your thoughts, your truth. And then we've talked about the decision, the development of the desire, and here's a final one. That's the determination. Stick with it. Daniel's one of my heroes. And you know why? It tells us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel did what? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Do you think it was easy for Daniel to stand for the Lord and to take the position that he had? You say, well, sure, it was easy for him. You know what? Daniel was a man. Daniel was a human being, and he had the same temptations, the same challenges, the same weaknesses, the same kinds of things that come your way. And you say, well, I'd really like to have a purpose in my heart and stick to it. It's possible. Thank the Lord for Daniel's example. He did it. And look how God used him. Daniel had prepared his heart for the Lord. Can I close with a feeble illustration? And I trust you'll say, well, that kind of helps put it all together. This whole thing about, you know, they had not prepared their heart unto the Lord. I watched my wife partly this afternoon. I ducked out on her and I took a nap for a while, but I knew what she was doing. Her sister and our brother-in-law is here this evening. And you know, meals after church just don't happen. They don't just show up in your refrigerator when you open the door. You know what you have to do to make them happen? You have to what? Prepare. Prepare. And so I watched her get out some meat, and I watched her put that meat in the skillet, and I watched her turn it on, and I saw her as she started putting the ingredients and things in there. And I've seen it enough that I know exactly what she did. I saw her go to the cupboard, and she got out a, is it a strainer? What do you call that thing? All right. And you know what she does? After that meat is all cooked and everything, it's got some stuff in it that you don't want to serve with the meal. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That ooey gooey stuff. Well, what do you do with that? Part of the preparation is you've got the meat, you've got all the ingredients in there, but there's some fat that has gotten liquidy, and you want to take that meat and you want to pour. That's all a part of the what? Preparation. So that when we get home this evening, we're going to sit down to some nice tacos, because she's spent the time this afternoon preparing so that we can enjoy. Do you get the picture of what we've been talking about for Sunday evenings? We're here. I see you're here, but have we been prepared for what God has for us here? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for even the insight with this one word this evening that has so many different shades of meaning. I pray, Lord, that one of those shades of meaning might have turned on the understanding in our hearts so that we might know what you want of us, what is required of us. Oh, it's easy to come, have the words in our mouth, but it doesn't mean that our hearts are here. Lord, may we be men, women, whose hearts are prepared before you in the coming days. Take us safely to our homes. We thank you now and we praise you in your name. Amen.